Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports, and welcome to March. Yesterday, we had a story about the Tour of Rwanda cycling race. After stage six on Friday, the overall leader is Eritrean Merawi Kudus of the Astana team. Kudus, by the way, started in the 2015 Tour de France and already won two stages of this year's Rwanda Tour. He has a 17-second advantage in the overall classification over Rein Taaramäe of Estonia. Poland's Przemyslaw Kasperkiewicz won Friday's stage with a short breakaway. The tour concludes on Sunday with a 61-kilometer ride in Kigali. For more African sports news, we're joined now by Samson Omale, who has this update about the status of a former sports executive in Zambia and the news of how the Ugandan under-17 boys soccer team is preparing for a tournament in Turkey, and an interview with a boxer who has Liberian ties. Welcome to the show, Samson.
So we begin the sports news in Zambia, where former Zambia FA Vice President Boniface Mwamelu has been banned for life by football world governing body FIFA for taking bribes to help fix matches. Mwamelu's ban is the second serious sanction handed to a Zambian official after Kalusha Bwalya also served out a two-year ban that was reduced on appeal. Boniface Mwamelu has confirmed he intends to appeal his life ban. And now to Ghana, where Ghana Football Normalization Committee President Kofi Amua says despite failing to organize a special competition, he does not regret putting it up for consideration. Kofi Amua said his team hit the skids after disagreeing with Premier League clubs over budget details, fixtures and payment of players. The businessman claims the four-member committee has learnt their lessons.
Some of the reasons why Ghana football went into the gutter are the same reasons why the tournament never starts. And therefore, it's become clear to me that maybe the better, wise way to go is take your time to reform, okay, make all the changes, bring the strength into it, get the approval, and then you can play the football by the guidelines of the new statutes. And then things will be better. And I think I don't regret it.
The Uganda Boys National Under-17 football team is set to feature in an invitational tournament in Turkey. All the eight teams that qualified for the 2019 Under-17 African Cup of Nations will play in the 10-day tournament. The tournament is scheduled to kick off on March the 2nd and will run until the 10th of March. Mangera Jackson is Uganda Boys Under-17 national team coach.
They are good. They are responding well. We have no injuries. No one is sick. We are doing well. We are trying to adopt what we are telling them, and the morale is fairly high.
In boxing news, Freddie Pretty Boy Kiwit, the Liberian-born German boxer, has been crowned the World Boxing Organization's European Welterweight Champion following his majority decision against the Irish boxer Paddy Gallagher at the York Hall Bethnal Green in London. Freddie Kiwit knocked down the Irish twice en route to a majority decision of 93-95, 95-95 and 94-95 win for a shot at a major world title in 2019. Freddie Pretty Boy Kiwit spoke with James Buddy from London.
Basically, this is a life-changing opportunity. This has put me in the top 10 in the world, and it's like puts me on the map, basically.
When you talk about the map, you talk about the world map. What do you have in mind next?
Well, obviously, everyone's dream is to be like a world champion. So.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. We look forward to hearing more from you on Monday's show. Keeping with African sports newsmakers, I want to continue the conversation our VOA colleague Peter Clotty started with Nigerian basketball executive Amadou Musa Kida. We pick up the conversation in progress as Peter asked Amadou about how the Nigerian basketball program can entice international players with Nigerian roots and those Nigerian-born players who are currently playing internationally to maintain their connections with the team and potentially represent Nigeria in international tournaments.
You know, I think one of the things that my players have realized, when I say my players, the national players right now, have realized, especially with my board, is that our emphasis is on the players and their welfare. I've said it in front of everybody that my biggest client, apart from the stakeholders that elected me into office, are the players. And I know sometimes the officials feel kind of, I would say, uneasy when I say that. But my true conviction as a former player is that if you treat a player well, and he understands that you are doing your best to treat him well, he will play best. Coming back to your question, we do not have the resources to match an NBA-style kind of payment, for instance. We are not able to do that simply because I believe we're in this baby step stage where every step counts, but we just want to make sure that once we step it, we take a step forward, we don't take any step backwards. So for us, we play more on the pride that they need to have to wear the jersey, representing their country in ways that they have never done before, in conditions that are totally and absolutely acceptable or comparable to where they're coming from. So typically the accommodation, you know, we are very, very meticulous about that. Generally security that has to be provided, especially when you have all these huge superstars that come, you know, okay. I know that the security is not there to stop people from doing harm, but more people away from, you know, causing commotion. So they have understood that. So I'm happy to say that has reawoken some interest. I do get one or two calls from some of them who have said, look, hang on, you know, we're happy what's going on in Nigeria, you know, and then if there's any way we can help. Very, very encouraging. And as such, I do think that they've started having a sense of belonging. So, you know, wait and see.
Looking at the performance of Nigerian basketball at the world stage, what plans or measures do you have to sustain this? Because African players and teams perform like one-off, they shock the world, and then everything goes back to starting afresh. How do you intend maintaining the standards and actually making sure it gets better over the years to come?
You know, what has bedeviled Nigerian sports or African sports in a general way is consistency. Mm-hmm. In terms of, one, participation, and secondly, in terms of performance. At the root of all that, it has to do with an enabler called funding. You know, funding is a real issue. One thing I do realize is government cannot just do that all alone, especially in an African setting where there are a lot of other social demands on the government for high priority areas, you know, like health, education, and infrastructure. So we find ourselves competing with those areas that really touch everybody or more people than the sport. My belief is that the way to ensure consistency is to try and privatize in a way or give some kind of private input into sports that will make it attractive for businesses and sponsors to see an interest in sponsoring or maintaining some form of interest in the progression of sports in a general term. What we have started doing in basketball, so again, I tell you, the Division II, for instance, that we have for the first time, in Nigeria. Total is sponsoring that. They have seen the interest. Clearly, they see a Total sign, a Total logo, being present in something that brings around and brings a lot of youth for something that's very common as a basketball. We keyed into Total's quest for youth empowerment, and that's the theme. We also have sponsors like Milo, okay, that do secondary school sports. They've been doing it for years. Fantastic job, you know. A lot of our players, be they international or national players, have gone through that. Those have seen an interest in youth related to their product, you know. So again, we need to actually be a bit more bullish in terms of sports administrators to make these people understand that there is value, you know, in sponsoring. There is value and recognition in them having a piece in that little progress that we need to make for you.
Thank you, Peter, for that conversation with Nigerian basketball executive Amadou Musa Keita. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. On Thursday, we got a tease of Jim Stevenson's podcast, The Game Room, with a story about women cyclists in the town of Alice Springs, Australia. Now Jim is back with the rest of his show, which is available each week at voanews.com. Jim has a look at a recent golf tournament, how the golf is shaping up for the Olympics next year in Japan, and news of how some of the world's top tennis players enjoy the early season tournament in the Mexican beach city of Acapulco. Welcome to the sunny side of sports, Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
Is nice. I definitely wanted to get to that 20 number.
20 is the magic number on the PGA Tour, and golfer Dustin Johnson knows what it means.
You know, to get 20 wins, you know, obviously it's a lifetime exemption on the tour, so that's a very big accomplishment.
A huge accomplishment. With his win at the Mexico Championship, Johnson no longer has to qualify for playing privileges. All he has to do now is just show up, and the rest of the field will definitely take notice. At 21 under par this week, Johnson was 5 shots better than Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland.
I knew at that point that I didn't really have a chance. DJ was playing too well. You know, we had some, you know, we had par fives coming up, and it just wasn't, you know, I was just too far behind. So I just consolidated my second place, and, you know, that's all I could really do.
McIlroy takes comfort knowing in a normal year, his score would top the final leaderboard at the Mexico event.
The last 2 years, it would have been good enough. So at least I know my games. You know, there's just one guy that played a bit better than everyone else this week, and that's, you know, you have to accept that and move on. I have to take the positives from my week, and, you know, there's plenty of them to take.
Third place was a full 10 shots behind, where Kiradek Afabarnat of Thailand finished strong by reeling off 3 straight subpar holes.
Last 3 birdies is a big thing for me. The FedEx point, the rest of Dubai point, even the world ranking as well. So it's make me release me a little bit. Just go back and play my own game. Don't force myself too much. And it's been a great week so far.
Paul Casey of England also made a final surge to share third place.
Maybe a little bit tired from the last two PGA Tour events where we had the Monday finish and then all the rain delays last week. I just said, come on, let's just attack this. Let's figure out a way. I'm not sure I can give you an answer as to what we did differently. But I pulled it off.
With all of his accomplishments, the veteran Casey has yet to win a World Golf Championship tournament.
I still feel like, you know, I'm one of the older guys now, 41, but there's no reason why I can't lift one of these things.
Johnson has spent 11 productive years on the PGA Tour so far.
It's tough enough to get one win, you know, out here. And, you know, to win every year I've been on tour is something that that I work hard on and I want to do, and so I want to keep it going as long as I can.
Now that he has reached the elite exemption status, could golf's Hall of Fame be calling soon?
I still got a long way to go, hopefully, and hopefully I got a bunch more wins to put on my resume before I start thinking about that.
Kasumi Kaseki Country Club will host the golf tournament at the 2020 Olympics. The club has been making social progress ahead of the Tokyo Games. Just last year, it admitted its first female players on the course. Hiromi Kobayashi was the LPGA Rookie of the Year in 1990 and is now a Japan Golf Association official. She thinks Kasumi Kaseki Country Club can help promote the sport of golf internationally. She says, I am happy that we will have the chance to promote Japan through hosting the Olympics golf event and by showing to the world how great this golf club is, because the popularity of golf is still varied from country to country. Golf returned to the Olympics 3 years ago in Rio de Janeiro after a 112-year absence. Unlike in Rio, Tokyo and Japan offer golfing tradition. The sport is popular in the country, and the Olympic venue northwest of Tokyo is over 90 years old. Japanese professional golfer Sunoyuki Nakajima hopes golf will become a lasting Olympic sport after Tokyo 2020. Golf returned as an Olympic event, but I personally think it did not draw enough interest. I believe that the true value of golf as an Olympic event will be judged after the 2020 Games in Tokyo. I hope people will accept golf as a key part of the Olympics and for it to become one of the regular events in the Olympics program. I believe that a lot rests on the outcome of the golf event at Tokyo 2020. The Olympic golf tournament will be played on the East Course, while a section of the West Course will be turned into a practice ground for the Games. Pressure from the International Olympic Committee helped the club upgrade women to full membership status. Three men's tennis tournaments are offering players this week chances to get their seasons going in full swing, like 2018 season-ending champion Alexander Zverev of Germany, who is at the Mexico Open in Acapulco.
This is going to be my second tournament of the year, and it's almost end of February, so obviously every player has played more than me, basically, and no, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to kind of really get going now because it's a busy schedule.
Zverev loves the atmosphere so much, he feels as if he's on vacation.
I'm staying in a house which is, you know, 5 minutes away from here, and the beach is basically 20 meters away from the house, and I can go every morning. I do go every morning to the beach. I do enjoy the water a lot, and you know, I think this place is in a way holidays for us.
Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland also enjoys being at the Mexico resort.
Sunny, you by the beach, nice pool, a lot of people, a lot of fans. Atmosphere is amazing to play here during the night. So, yeah, there's a lot that the tournaments make it for the player to feel at home.
The Mexico Open was played on outdoor red clay courts until 2013. The change to hard courts was introduced in 2014, which is something new for Wawrinka.
Last time I played here was only on clay court, so I'm going to see how it looks now on hard court during match night session and all. For sure it's going to be completely different condition than last few weeks indoor in Europe, but I'm excited to be here.
Diego Sebastian Schwartzman of Argentina says the hard courts in Mexico are different from what the players see elsewhere, and he's making an adjustment like everyone else.
The court is It's okay. It's not really fast like Australia. It's slower. The ball is jumping a little bit. So it's great for me. I need a few days because I'm coming from clay season in South America. I need a few days to be again here in hard court in my best way. So I'm trying to do.
That's Jim Stevenson's podcast, The Game Room, available midweek each week at voanews.com. Thank you, Jim. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The big news of that tournament in Mexico so far is that Australia's Nick Kyrgios defeated Rafael Nadal in the round of 16 on Wednesday. Nadal and Kyrgios had a bit of a back and forth in the media after their match, with Nadal accusing Kyrgios of disrespecting both the fans and his rival players. Kyrgios is now in the semifinals and will face American John Isner later Friday for the chance to make it to the finals. While international tennis is in full swing, we want to let you know that Major League Soccer here in the U.S. is just about to start its 2019 season. If you don't remember, the defending champion is a pretty new team, Atlanta United, which played its first season in 2017. In its second season, Atlanta defeated the Portland Timbers for the title last December in a decisive 2-0 decision. Atlanta has perhaps the league's best player in Joseph Martinez of Venezuela, who was named the league's MVP and the MVP of the MLS Finals. He set the league's new record with 31 goals last year. Martinez and Atlanta opened the season on Sunday, hosting Washington's local team, DC United. An international player of high regard, Zlatan Ibrahimovic of the LA Galaxy, starts his second MLS season this weekend. Los Angeles plays in Chicago on Saturday. Ibrahimovic said, "After all the training, it's about time to start the season."
I feel good. I've been participating almost everything, and the team is feeling good. No big issues, and for Saturday we will all be ready. So we look forward to the game, finally, because it has been too long. We haven't played, so we have been working out a lot, hard, and that's it. Now the real thing starts, and the most fun, and that's the official games.
Ibrahimovic is now the captain of the Galaxy, and he went on TV recently and said he plans to break all the MLS records in his first full season in the league. If you remember, he started the season a bit late in Los Angeles in 2018. He said he's not too old to break all the records. He said, "I'll break all the records I don't even know about." Ibrahimovic also said he's looking forward to seeing how a new statue of former LA Galaxy star David Beckham will look outside of the stadium when it's unveiled this week.
I have a lot of memories with David. He's a good guy, fantastic guy, on the field, outside the field. So I'm happy for him. He gets his statue, and I think he's super happy. Hopefully it looks good like him also, so even more happy. And hopefully we can make it a good game so everything goes well.
On Monday, we'll be joined by our friend Prince Nesta, who will certainly have an update on the performance of Kylian Mbappe. Mbappe should be happy to know that he has a fan in Zlatan.
Mbappe is fantastic. He's young, he won nice trophy so far, and he's developing, he's doing good job, and he will continue to do job. So he just have to keep his focus, even if all the hype is around him and all the things is happening. So just keep focus, train hard, and he will do even better.
That's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the Swedish star of the Los Angeles Galaxy, who's getting ready for the opening weekend of Major League Soccer here in North America. And we hope you're getting ready for a good weekend, too. That wraps up the March 1st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'll be back on Monday. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Coming up on the next edition of VOA's Press Conference USA, host Carol Castiel talks with Zach Verton, author of the new book, A Rope from the Sky, The Making and Unmaking of the World's New Estate. The book details the gradual rise and hopefully temporary collapse of the nation of South Sudan. That's Press Conference USA, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
It's the weekend, and you deserve something special. I've got just the thing, Pan-African music, with me, Heather Maxwell. Hello, everybody. You'll hear two great interviews. One features my recent visit to the Bizung School of Music and Dance in Tamale, Ghana, with Mohamed Alidu and his music students. And the other comes out of Nairobi. Bill Odidi talks with veteran dancehall artist Red Sun about his new album and his old hits, too.
My name is Red Sun, the baddest Mr. Badadan, Mr. Shoulderback, Mr. Wine Fimi, me, born and raised a Kenyan.
Song of the Week features the hit song Lepe Mala, currently tearing up the airwaves in Ethiopia. And there's so much more awesome music, people, you just don't want to miss it. So, sweeten up with me on Music Time in Africa. This Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Back in January 2016, astronomers Constantine Batygin and Mike Brown at the California Institute of Technology generated a lot of excitement when they said they found evidence of a giant planet they called Planet Nine in the far reaches of the solar system. Now, 3 years later, the two scientists and their team of researchers have published two new studies that provides new details about the suspected nature and location of the giant mystery planet. The first paper, published back in January 2019 in the Astronomical Journal, suggests clustering of objects in the Kuiper Belt, a collection of various icy bodies beyond Neptune, is affected by a so far unseen planet such as Planet Nine. The second paper, published recently in the journal Physics Reports, provides fresh insight into the characteristics of Planet Nine that include it being smaller and that it's closer to the sun than thought. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. Tuesday on Health Chat, we will discuss rare diseases, a group of disorders that affect about 350 million people around the world and are difficult to diagnose. Our guest is Chika Dunyo, Director of Education Programs with the U.S. National Organization for Rare Disorders. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
On the next edition of VOA's Encounter, it's the politics and substance of the recent Trump-Kim summit. Did this second meeting between the North Korean dictator and U.S. President Donald Trump yield more than just a photo op and vague promises about denuclearization? Two regional experts will join guest host Jeffrey Young for a review. That's Encounter, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.